On the truck and a hammer in my hand. X got the kids and half of my check. Other half goes to the IRS. Cuckoo. Beer's on the hood, cars on the blocks. Carburetor parts still sitting in the box. Wrenching that wrench, stripping that bolt. Busting up a knuckle, make a man go. Cuckoo. This world keeps shaking me, breaking me, taking me, making me damn near crazy as a loon.
His latest album, Son of Dad. That's a man that we feature all the time here on Crossroads on Iron Country, 101.9 FM, 1490 AM, streaming live worldwide on ironcountry.fm and on the big radio app as well. It's a song that arguably launched him into the stratosphere of country music, coming off of his performance from Late Night with Seth Meyers. That's Cuckoo, the second track off of his 22-track strong album, Son of Dad. And the man himself is joining us all before his concert in Madison this coming Thursday at the Majestic Theater, Stephen Wilson Jr. Stephen, thank you so much for joining Crossroads here tonight. It's an absolute pleasure to speak to you, my friend.
Well, thank you so much, Tyler, for having me and taking the time. I love Wisconsin, and I can't wait to get back up there. I really do. Incredible human beings you have up there. Y'all should be very proud.
We definitely try our best. Yeah, you were here for a Country Thunder in Twin Lakes, Wisconsin this summer. I got to speak with you backstage, put on one hell of a show. I know you got a lot of new fans from that performance as well, but ever since then, you have been absolutely on fire. Articles from Rolling Stone, Songwriter Magazine. You performed on CBS Morning News, Late Night with Seth Meyers. Over the last 6 months to a year, is there any way that you can possibly describe to the average human being what you've gone through over the last 6 to 12 months here in your music career, after starting as a boxer into a scientist of all things, now as a genuine country music star?
Yeah, I don't think I have words. You know, I'm a bit of a word nerd, but I'm a bit at a loss for this one, because, you know, you want to make God laugh, tell him your plans. And none of this was really in my plans. So, I really don't know what to say. It's just really been a whirlwind, if that's the best word. I've been in a couple of tornadoes in my life, like two of them to be exact. And it's just like, it's really crazy. Like, a bunch of things are just going around you, but at the same time, it's quite calm. At the same time, there's a weird like eeriness to it. So I would kind of compare it to that a little bit. Kind of I don't feel crazy or I haven't lost my mind, but I feel like there's just a whirlwind going around me, and I'm just trying to just keep my composure and enjoy it all, and try to just experience it, really, mostly, because like I said, none of this was really supposed to happen, and I'm not really supposed to be here, but I am here. And I am truly grateful for it.
Yeah, we're grateful to have you again. He's Stephen Wilson Jr., set for his fresh new performance at the Majestic Theater this coming Thursday night, October 17th in Madison. I know a whole bunch of Iron Country family members will be there at that show coming up on Thursday. Check out his music, StephenWilsonJr.com. Buy some merch and get his latest album, Son of Dad, wherever you get your music online as well. But Stephen, before you came to Twin Lakes, Wisconsin for Country Thunder this past summer, I stumbled across your music. I was listening to, I don't know, maybe it was Tyler Childers Radio or Charles Wesley Godwin Radio, and your song Hometown came in and just, the shuffle play. And I was thinking to myself, holy Travis Meadows is finally back. He's feeling better, and he released a new song. Have you ever heard of Travis Meadows? And if you have you and him ever been seen in the same room together? Because I swear to God, you guys have the same type of powerful lyrics, same type of songwriting ability. Travis Meadows, are you familiar with the man?
Yeah, he's a dear friend. And
good. That is good to hear. I didn't want to offend anybody.
Actually, what's really odd is, like, right after this interview, I'm gonna go meet with Travis, and we're gonna go try to write a song together. So
really
odd timing that you brought that up. I haven't seen him in like a year, and today is the day that I will see him for the first time in a year. But yeah, he's a dear friend, and I am familiar with his music very, very much. And I wrote that song Hometown with Tony Lane and Marv Green, and knowing Travis, he's a huge Tony Lane fan, so I can kind of see why maybe you saw that comparison too, because I think, you know, we're both Travis and I are big fans of Tony Lane, and you can definitely hear Tony in that song in a good bit, and Marv and myself. And Travis and I are weird. It's weird. Like, we met each other, but in town, I didn't know about his music until way after he had music released, and, you know, vice versa. It was like we met each other, and we were like, whoa. It was a bit of an interesting encounter. Like, we accidentally kind of created our music kind of separately from each other, but there was all these common threads throughout it all. And I just love him to death, and he's been a dear friend for the past couple of years since I really started doing this in town. And I have a new song on my new record that I wrote with Travis. I wrote Cuckoo, by the way, with Travis, the song you just played. I wrote that with Travis and Jeffrey Steele. So, Travis he's written songs on my record, and he'll have co-written songs with me on my new record. So I can't wait for you to hear him.
Stephen Wilson Jr. tonight here on Crossroads and Iron Country. And yeah, please tell Travis, all of us here in Iron Country, he knows it well, Beloit, Wisconsin, Clinton, Wisconsin. He's performed at a little bar called Boxcars. It's kind of like, God, what's that bar down in Nashville? Listening Room, Mockingbird? Not Mockingbird.
Bluebird?
Yeah, the Bluebird. Yeah, the Bluebird Lounge. Yeah, we kind of got a listening room up here. And man, the night that Travis Meadows came up, we made fast friends. I've interviewed him two or three times. Hopefully he's doing well health-wise after the last most recent scares. But that one night that he was in the room at Boxcars was the most special night of music I've ever experienced. It was, I didn't know Travis Meadows before going into that show, went in totally green, organic, and came out a lifelong friend. Do you have experience like that, either running across folks on the road or maybe back when you were a kid? One particular song, one particular artist that totally transformed the way that you viewed music from that moment on. Travis Meadows truly is that artist and that songwriter for me.
Wow. Well, for me, honestly, the thing that transformed me and really made me want to be a songwriter was a song written a long time ago by Larry Johnson and Craig Martin called "Don't Take the Girl" that was sang and made popular by Mr. Tim McGraw. And yeah, I heard that song on a school bus, and I didn't know what Tim McGraw looked like, and I definitely didn't know what Larry Johnson and Craig Martin looked like. But that song totally just transformed. I became a character in that song. It was a 90-minute movie compressed into a 3.5-minute experience. And that's when I really got song bit. I got to be honest, I had a 3-hour school bus drive, 90 minutes there, 90 minutes home, first kid on, last kid off, rural routes, county line roads, all that stuff. If you're from Wisconsin, you definitely know what I'm talking about. And so it was all just farm routes. So I had a 3-hour country music immersion class 5 days a week. And that song came on and made a mess out of a preteen kid that was, a young, I don't remember how old I was, but it was around 13, not a good age to be crying on a school bus. And, that song just made a mess out of me. And that's when I got song bit. That's what I call it. That's when I discovered that songs could do more. They were more than just a collection of beats and sounds and melodies and hooks. It was actually this transformative piece of art that could take you somewhere and actually had healing properties, because it actually helped me reconcile some things that I had in my own personal life with my mama and all that stuff. And there was just a lot more going on with the song than I originally thought. And that was the song that introduced me to that feeling. And I honestly haven't been the same since. And I've been chasing that ever since that day. So,
yeah, there is something just special about music. I mean, you can have sports, you can have movies, books, and poetry, but something about music is kind of the perfect conglomeration of everything. It strikes every chord in your soul and can really connect you to a special time in your life, get you through something rough, or amplify a fantastic time that you're going through as well. Again, he's Stephen Wilson Jr. joining us tonight here on Crossroads on Iron Country. Check out his website, buy some merch, get his music as well. StephenWilsonJr.com. That is Stephen P.H. Wilson Jr.com joining us here on Crossroads tonight. And Stephen, they can read the articles that Rolling Stone has written about you, see the profiles on CBS morning news, how you became from a boxer to a scientist to a songwriter. But we should dive into it just a little bit. How the hell did you become a scientist? Are you just one of these freak individuals that just took to science super easily? Your brain just clicks in that with that chemistry set, the biology. I mean, you took being a scientist pretty seriously for almost a decade before you even started truly singing, did you not? What did you all do in the lab?
Yeah, I was a food scientist and a microbiologist. I went to school for that. When I was a kid, I was just a real nerd. I didn't really talk much, and I sat out in the woods and I studied things. I had tons of notebooks of you know, that I filled out on my own, you know, like of biology and like every animal, and like I had drawings and I had every description. I knew every organ, every body part, every system and how everything worked. And that was just how I was from a kid. I don't know why I took to those things. I just did. And I still do. Those are just things that have always interested me since I was born. I just understood science. I was always really good at it in school. And so, like, coming from a farm community, a blue-collar community where my whole family worked on cars or worked on farms, I was a bit of an anomaly in my family. I was a nerd. And they didn't really know quite what to do with me at the time. So, you know, but they were like, dude, you're good at school. You should go do this science stuff because you're really good at it. And just because you're good at something doesn't necessarily mean you're supposed to do it for your whole life. But it really became a huge part of my foundation for how I just view life, how I view music and everything in general. So my applied science degree is far bigger than just my professional career as a scientist. It's, like I said, it really shaped how I look at the world, because as a songwriter, I consider myself jokingly a song scientist, but the process isn't really that much different. You get a different product, but the process is not super different. At the end of the day, I'm a researcher. I go out and I try to find the truth and I test it against the world. That truth is an idea and that test is a song. And I guess you would call it my lab rats or my guinea pigs would be the audience. And I get an instant result. I know instantly when a truth is validated or not, like whether or not my hypothesis is worth being proven into theory. And so that, so it's a big part of my whole process. I know not all songwriters approach songs and music that way. That's just kind of how my path worked out. And I did work, you know, for 10 years as a scientist, or like between school and my professional life. I worked for Mars, the food company, for a good amount of time. That was like my big job before I just literally one day, I just kept writing songs in the lab and I just could not stop writing songs, and I quit my job pretty randomly. I was doing well and everything. I had this voice that would not leave me alone, that told me that for whatever reason, I just didn't belong there. I was not supposed to be there. And, you know, back to the original point of this conversation where I began, I'm not supposed to be here neither. So that was, you know, like the lesson of it all. And when I left that job and I took a real leap of faith to go after this songwriting stuff, because I never dreamed that I'd honestly be the singer, Tyler. I just wanted other people to sing my songs. I wanted to be that Larry Johnson, that Craig Martin, and I wanted to find my Tim McGraw to sing my Don't Take the Girl, you know. I wanted to pay that forward to the world. I just never dreamed that I would be the Tim McGraw, and that's where, you know, like I said, you want to make God laugh. Tell him your plans, and here I am.
Well, thank goodness you followed, you know, different plans along the way and eventually found your way. Stephen Wilson Jr. joining us here on Crossroads on Iron Country. The song scientist, 22 tracks strong. His latest album, Son of Dad. Currently on tour, on the Son of Dad tour as well, rolling through Madison this coming Thursday, October 17th at the Majestic Theater. Couple tickets still available, so I'll log online and purchase those tickets today. But Stephen, let's hear another track from Son of Dad, and it's kind of the pseudo title track. We mentioned that you are a boxer. Your father, Stephen Wilson Sr., heavily got you and your brother Nick into the boxing ring since you were 5, 6, 7 years old. You were strapping him up. But damn, this song, the first time I heard it, right after I heard Hometown, you know, where I thought you were Travis Meadows, went, clicked on the artist, Stephen Wilson Jr., who is this? Top track, Father Son, Jesus, Mary Joseph. What a powerful track. What went into this one? It's a tribute to your father and pretty much all fathers out there as well.
Yeah. Well, I start off every show, Tyler, with introducing myself. And that introduction is, hello, my name is Stephen Wilson Jr. and I am my father's son. It happens every show, whether you know me or whether you do. It's just, it's like the thesis statement of this whole thing back to academia. But that is what a lot of this is. To do all of this, I really needed a much higher purpose than myself, because for me to do this, me alone was not enough. I did not believe in myself enough to do this. My father always believed in me far greater than I believed in myself. He was a true corner man and a true champion of me, and he made a champion out of me by championing me. And so when my dad died, I said goodbye to him on an iPhone 8 in the middle of Kentucky. He was my best friend and my hero, and that was just the way it went down. And I tried to get there, and I didn't make it, but I still said goodbye to him, and his last words on that iPhone were, write a good song for me. And it wasn't a request. It was a command. And not because he felt like he deserved it. He just felt like he was, you know, my work was only just beginning, and he was giving me the fuel, like, that he knew that I was going to need to go through this fight without him. Because he used to, like, really fuel me up with words. Like, when I'd hit the heavy bag or between rounds, he just knew how to fuel me up. He knew how to say the right thing to get me to go out there and give more than I thought I had. And that was, I think, his way of doing that. So, you know, in boxing, the punch that knocks you out is the one you don't see coming. And that's what that song was to me, and that's what that song seems to be to a lot of people. And, you know, that's really how I framed that song. That song is a fight. That song is a boxing strategy wrapped up in one, really. It's wrapped up in a song. It's a fight wrapped up in a song. And the way that whole song was crafted, it's really just rooted around that thesis statement that I am my father's son, and my father's last words really fueled a lot of that. So there's a lot of boxing references because of that. And yeah, that song was just a real gift. It really helped me, I guess, take what something I already knew and give it away to the world. And my dad, all he really ever wanted to do in life was help people. I joke around, he'd give you the shirt off his back if he was wearing one. But he just wanted to help people so much. And I feel like that song and his last words were one of his final acts of grace. And he's out there helping people all over the world reconcile their losses with their fathers, or reconcile their relationships with their fathers still alive to this day. I've seen reconciled father-son relationships show up to my shows. Like, we haven't talked in years, but since I heard your song, I sent it to my dad, and now we're here together celebrating our relationship at your show. I don't know if there's a greater act of love I don't know if there's a bigger gift, you know, to my dad than that. And that's what that song is about. Short story long.
Well, Stephen Wilson Jr., I think you accomplished the feat of him, you know, in those final words. You certainly knocked it out of the ballpark. So let's strap on the gloves here on Crossroads on Iron Country off of his Son of Dad album. Stephen Wilson Jr. and Father's Son here on Crossroads on Iron Country.
He was named by my grandma. She got it from the Bible. And he passed it on to me like granddaddy's rifle. Raised me up like sweet corn, created a disciple. Yeah, I fought it like hell, he became a rival. Yeah, I tried to be different, tried to go against the grain. Didn't make no difference, I just ended up the same. I've never known better, yeah. 'Cause just to get out of his shadow. And he'd send me a 20 just to get back on the saddle. I put up a good fight, but I didn't win a battle. I guess a tree don't grow very far from the apple. I've never known. I used to hate being called Junior. Now I don't mind any longer.
What a powerful track right there off of his latest album, Son of Dad. Stephen Wilson Jr. coming through Madison next week, Thursday. Do not miss that show, October 17th at the Majestic in Madison. That is Father Son here on Crossroads on Iron Country. And again, we're joined by the man himself, Stephen Wilson Jr. From that tune right there. And Stephen, I was just telling you during that song, every time I listen to it, I get a lump in my throat for two different reasons, but another reason was just recently added. I personally, here on Iron Country, we don't play really any Hardy, but your rendition with Hardy, just sitting in front of each other, two acoustic guitars, there's a special story not only between you and your father, but Hardy and his father as well. You've recently gone on tour with Hardy. What's the story behind that music video that folks can check out on YouTube, certainly your website as well, StephenWilsonJr.com. A very special story with you and Hardy teaming up for that track in a music video.
Yeah, it was a very kind of organic and just serendipitous experience. I went out on tour with Hardy. He asked me personally to come out and open up for his shows, which was like a huge honor, and I'm just, really getting started. He really believed in me early on. Even when I first started putting out songs, like, Hardy would just text me randomly and just be like, "Hey man, I love this. The song The Devil is incredible. Keep doing this." And he would just send me like really nice, like, kind of just, I guess, notes of motivation and encouragement. And then fast forward, I put out this record and he's like, "You got to come out on tour with me." And I was like, he's got like all these fans, like 15,000-20,000 fans showing up at every show he plays. And, I've never played in front of a crowd that big in my life. I'm really quite awkward and I'm really new to like performing like this, singing and all that, being a front man, especially in front of like 20,000 people. And so, I had to get used to kind of going out and performing in these big, amphitheaters and these arenas, and just a mind-blowing experience for an introvert like myself. And then Hardy, in the mid-late part of the tour, he says, "Hey man, would you want to come out and sing Father Son with, during my set? I just want you to come out and sing the song. I ain't trying to sing it with you or nothing. I literally just want you to come out while the house is full. I need people to hear that song if you don't mind." And I was like, "What? If I don't mind, you come out and play in front of your 20,000 fans, like the most sacred song I've ever written about my dad." And, And I know the story about his dad. You know, he has his father's name. He is very much his father's son. And it just, the song is really very much, you know, it struck a chord with him, no pun intended. And he asked me to come out and sing it. And I came out and sang it in front of 20,000 people. And, you know, like all the phone lights went up in the air. And it just, we just saw a sea of people bawling. And it was like, wow, like what a, it was an incredible experience. And then the tour ended. We both got home and I was like, you know, Michael, would you want to just like go into a living room one day and like sing that song like we did in front of 20,000 people a week ago and just see what happens? And but this time we'll both sing it. You know, I want you to take a verse and I'll take a verse. And literally a week after that experience on stage, we went into my buddy Ben's living room, put up two chairs and two microphones. We ran the song four times. And the third one, well, like we were like just rehearsing the song, really. We didn't know we were actually performing the song. We were rehearsing the song, like we rehearsed it like three times. And we were like, I don't think we need to do this again. Like we were kind of gearing up to do a proper take. But we were like, man, I think we already did it. I think the performance has already happened. And I think it was the second or third rehearsal of the song that it was the one that's on YouTube. And it's just a fully live recording, like just us sitting in a living room, just like we did in front of 20,000 people. It's just me and him this time and a camera guy. And we just sang the song. And it was one of the most special moments to me. It took a, you know, it was just as special as it was in front of all those people in that living room. I felt like that we kind of grabbed, we were able to jar up some of that energy and that mojo from that show and bring it into that living room and open up the jar, and it was still there. That makes sense. And that's what that experience was. And it was a true honor. And it was just so gracious of him to take the time to do that and to deliver such an epic performance of it. You know, there's no way, like, you can't really phone in that song. You have to be there. You have to give 110%, and he did. And I will be eternally grateful to him.
Yeah, what an unbelievable tale about that tune. Again, Father Son, check it out right now on YouTube. Not right now, after this interview, of course. Hardy and Stephen Wilson Jr., Father Son. Stephen Wilson Jr. joining us here on Crossroads on Iron Country. Check out his website, StephenWilsonJr.com. Again, he's coming to Madison, Wisconsin this coming Thursday, October 17th at the Majestic. And Stephen, this is a kind of a natural pivot point to the song that really, I'm a grown ass man, but the song that made me cry from Son of Dad is Henry. And, I told you a little bit about my personal story when we met at Country Thunder in Twin Lakes this past summer. But Father Son, couple tracks later, you got the track Henry about your stepson. And going back to my relationship with my father, my parents were divorced. So I, as every boy does, you grow up idolizing your father. At some point, you start to demonize your father. And then later on in life, when you become a man yourself, you humanize your father. And right now I'm engaged to a woman, three kids, not my own, but something special about her son. When I heard Henry, my goodness, to say that I wept would be an understatement, especially the line, "You don't have to call me daddy, but you'll always be my boy." Talk about that, the story behind that song, because it touches more lives than you would probably even begin to think.
Yeah, no, that song is,
and I say that with tears coming down my eyes right now, because something about Henry, man, something so special.
Oh man, well that warms my heart and makes my day. That boy is that. He makes my day and he warms my heart. He's the world to me. And I met him when he was a little boy, and I was, to be honest, a little boy. I was, you know, a youngster myself when I met his mama, and all my friends are out, you know, partying every weekend, and I met a girl, and she had a little boy. She had a little 3.5-year-old boy named Henry. And I swear, when I first met him, we were just best buds. I don't know what it was. It was like I've known this kid my whole life, and he's known me my whole life. And that was just the feeling I got from day one. And then, you know, he and I grew up together. That's what a lot of people don't tell you about parenting, especially when you start parenting young or step parenting young, is not only do you watch them grow up, they watch you grow up. And there's a mutual experience there. It's not a one way street. And, you know, Henry, that song, you know, writing that, I tried to write it from the perspective of when I first met him, and, you know, years down the road as I got to watch him grow and as he got to watch me grow. And then, you know, fast forward to putting out this record, you know, my father was married a couple times after he and my mom were divorced, so I had a couple step siblings. I had a couple stepbrothers growing up. And my dad was an incredible stepfather. That's one thing, you know, you can talk to my stepbrother still to this day about my father and his love for him, and you know, he was just as much a father figure to him as his real father was. And I got to watch that, like, you know, because my dad didn't treat him differently than me. I mean, a lot of parents do. That's just the way it works, and there's nothing, you know, right or wrong about it. I don't know. I won't get into the morality of that, but he never did. He didn't, like, not even for a second. And that was just an incredible thing to witness growing up. So my dad really taught me how to be a stepdad. So when I put out Son of Dad, like, Henry is not just a song to honor my stepson and the love that I have for him. It's also to honor my father, who taught me how to be a stepfather. And he kind of coached me through the whole thing from day one when I entered his life. And he knew exactly how to help me through all of it and tell me what to do. And at the same time, I already knew what to do because I watched him do it anyway through my childhood. And Henry is, you know, he's just the light of my life. And he really saved my life. So the song is a bigger thing than just the song, because I really am not sure if I'd be here without Henry. He, like, at that time in my life, I was somewhat self-destructive. Like I said, all my friends were, you know, acting a fool, and I could have really easily gone down that foolish drain, and that boy kept me out of it. He gave me a higher purpose in life that I really needed at that time, and I'm not sure if I'd be here without him.
Yes, Stephen, I don't know if I'll leave this in the interview that we air, but just a selfish, personal question. With a song like Father's Son, like, goddamn, I am my father's son. Do you ever currently sit back, look at Henry, go, you know, damn, I'm so much a part of my father, and here I am, maybe one way or another, trying to shape this young boy to be slightly different from his father? We've all made mistakes. None of us are perfect, but just trying to mold them in the best way possible. Do you have any advice to a fellow stepfather, how to do things? Get out of your own way is the biggest one probably that I struggle with the most, but just you obviously personally live in that. Like, what is your biggest advice to someone in our situations here?
I would say be a friend first. I think that's really important. And it's hard to do that as an authority figure when someone tells you, like, hey, you're now the disciplinarian or you're the provider and all these things. It's a really complicated relationship, and you really need to approach it that way. It's not black and white. You cannot copy and paste what you were taught into this situation. You really have to have an open mind towards it, because it's far more complicated than you probably even are aware of at the time, because there's all the dynamics with their biological parents, and you need to never at least from my experience, never disrespect that. You need to respect that so much. Like, and I think being a friend first is the biggest thing, because when a kid is caught in, it's just as hard for the kid as it is for the parent. A lot of people, like you know, there's advice you need to give to a stepchild too. Everyone gives, you know, the advice to the step parent, but I think you need to kind of, it's a two-way street, and you have to, but you're the adult. You're, you know, if you're the step parent, you have the wisdom and you have the advantage of experience. So with that advantage, you know, I would lead with being a friend and first, because then they will be a friend back, and it will just start there. That's, you know, I opened that song, you know, we were best of friends. That's the first line of that song.
Mm-hmm.
That's where it all started with. We were best friends before I was ever his, you know, his authority figure, his stepfather, his disciplinarian, his provider, any of that. So I think lead with that. And then I think a lot of it gets a lot easier, because at the end of the day, that's where it all ends up, I find. Me and my dad, we ended our relationship as best friends. Were we best friends growing up? No. Like you said, like you went through the whole, you know, the evolution of boy to man.
Yeah.
Humanizing your father at the end. You know, that's where it all ends. And I think a stepson will do that with his stepfather by the time it's all said and done. Especially if you lead with friend first, I think it'll end with friend last. And that's the best case scenario, period. Because I think that's where all father-son relationships eventually progress to, is just a true, beautiful, one-of-a-kind friendship.
Man, goosebumps everywhere, and should have brought some tissue paper in here. But Stephen, thanks again for joining Crossroads tonight. We've gone all over the map, all different emotions. Great advice right there. Thank you so much. Big things are still on the horizon. You've done almost everything here looking in your rear view, but the windshield is a hell of a lot bigger. On tour right now, Son of Dad tour. I know you're working on some new music, as you mentioned earlier in this interview, meeting up with our good friend here in Iron Country, Travis Meadows, to write some more tracks for an upcoming album. What is next for your meteoric rise? I mean, the only thing next, I think, is you landing on the moon, because you've already blasted through the stratosphere.
No, well, thank you. I guess next is hopefully tomorrow, Lord willing. But you know, 30,000 foot view, provided I, you know, make it, you know, to the end of next year, I would hope to have like a whole new record recorded. And you know, the conversation is not over, it's far from it, and the end of that record, it comes with a big to be continued. I end the record with this song called The Beginning, and that's my way of putting a to be continued, and so I will continue the conversation.
And you're going to be continuing it on this Son of Dad tour, not only in America but also Europe as well. New music on the horizon. I feel like I could talk to you for 3-4 more hours, Stephen, but I know you're a busy man. Thank you so much for joining us here tonight. You're going to be at the Majestic in Madison next week, Thursday, October 17th. Tickets available. And for all your shows as well, whether you're listening to this on YouTube or ironcountry.fm, and you're listening to this maybe October 23rd or November 7th, tickets available for all your upcoming shows at StephenWilsonJr.com. Stephen, again, thank you so much. After this interview, I'm going to collect my thoughts and think of 1,000 more questions to ask you. Hopefully I see you next Thursday night, either before or after your show. But we'll end the interview with A Year to Be Young, 1994. Stephen, thank you so much from the bottom of my heart for joining us here on Crossroads on Iron Country, my friend.
You're very welcome, Tyler. Anytime you would like to chat with me, I would love to chat back. Thank you again.
I must admit, I felt the flame. Kurt Cobain, a Fender Mustang. MTV brought me up. This is your brain on drugs. I won't forget that first girlfriend that got me into Boys to Men. And I grew up a lot that year. My sweatshirt said no fear. Ha. My life was a stereo, and it was everything. First one in line for the last dance with Mary Jane. Hiding in my headphones, laying on the bedroom floor. 1994. Tell mom, see you later. Don't be blowing up my pager. When the show's over, I'll come home. I don't know. Teen spirit in the air before we all own cell phones. Study hall passing notes. Yes, no, or I don't care. When my life was a stereo.
Once again, that is Stephen Wilson Jr. and Year to Be Young, 1994. My personal song, chasing all the chicks around the local roller rink, holding hands. Blue by Eiffel 65. Man, I'm struggling with words right now. I've had the pleasure of speaking with many folks here on Crossroads. Whitey Morgan, several times. Travis Meadows, that we touched on. Billy Don Burns, the legend. Cody Jinx, Ward Davis. The list goes on and on. Good friends with Charles Wesley Godwin. And I always try to ask all of them advice, you know, how to be a father. Just life advice, too. I don't know if there's a better source for better advice than Stephen Wilson Jr. His relationship with his father, him being a father, stepfather. Just sometimes you got to turn to the smartest man in the room. He was a scientist for a friggin' reason, people. Man, oh man. Stephen Wilson Jr., get his music wherever you can. Stephen Wilson Jr.com is his website. Currently the Son of Dad tour. I'm fighting all sorts of emotions right now, and I'm going to leave this, or I'm going to insert this last portion of audio that I think is just a further window into the soul of Stephen, just being an incredible human being. Stephen, I apologize if you thought we were speaking candidly. I may have violated some trust by doing this, but my goodness, this is what Stephen Wilson Jr. said after we hung up, quote-unquote, the phones, and we were just talking man-to-man, human-to-human. This is the kind of interaction that I've read about. on the Facebook pages, the fan Facebook pages, in the interviews with journalists, other radio show hosts. Something about this man is special, and I just want to shine a little bit further light into that. So this is my brief conversation after we, again, quote-unquote, hung up the phone. Stephen Wilson Jr., man, new friend of us, and what an ultimate human being. So here's a little teaser of that. Don't forget to go on out and support this man's music. Whew. Wow, an unbelievable new friend, Stephen Wilson Jr. My heart, thank you brother, thank you. All righty, my friend, thank you so much. Yeah, I'll tease that song at the end of our interview, but thank you so much, my man. Really do appreciate it, and this is one of those life-changing interviews, so thank you very much for taking some time. You didn't have to do that, and I'm really looking forward to seeing you on Thursday, my friend.
And thank you, Tyler. I really appreciate the candid and deep conversation. Sometimes with radio, you don't get you don't get into the deep stuff. So Thank you for not being afraid of the deep water. I appreciate it.
Hey man, I'm swimming in it every day with three kids, so I needed to ask you about Henry. And man, oh man, yeah. Sometimes I listening to podcasts I listen to a lot of Jordan Peterson and everything. They say, hey, every interaction I have with fans is emotional and heavy, but they're serving their purpose. And thanks for being a therapist and being cathartic for me in my journey with those questions too.
Of course, man. I'm glad it helped in any way it could. Like I said, I learned everything I know from my dad. So
yeah,
that would mean a lot to him. And I wish you the best with all that. I know it sounds like you're in a good footing and you got it under control. But yeah, man, I think you got it. And it sounds like you're if anything, you're leading with love. Because you don't have these emotions if you don't love. And that's what you're experiencing are symptoms of love. And love is the most important thing with that whole relationship. They will see that. They'll forget your words. They will always remember your love. And that's the most important thing, I think.
Man, yeah. Thank you so much, Stephen. And again, give a hello from all of us here in Iron Country to Travis Meadows, Pogo and Big Red, and myself from Boxcars in Iron Country. Thank you just from the bottom of my heart 1,000 times, my friend.
Oh, you're welcome, Tyler. Until next time, we'll see you in Madison. Okay?
Yeah, absolutely. I'll try to see you, maybe pass along my card to one of your merch guys or something and get a picture or shake your hand coming up next week, Thursday.
I would love it, man. We'll make sure it happens. I'll make sure my TM gets your name, and I would love to, shake your hand, my friend.
All right. Well, take care. See, I almost just called you Travis. Steven, thank you so much. Best of luck with Travis, and we'll see you in about a week or so.